Hey, good morning. I was thinking this morning, maybe it was a moment of being with Jesus, or just a thought I had. But life is really hard, and you guys are all doing it. And the perseverance is there, and God's strength in us is really seen, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be among a group of people that are taking the promises of God, and they are grabbing them, and they are living life close to them. And God's grace is bringing endurance and perseverance, and life is not easy. But here we are, and it is, I get to see God and just watching you guys live life. And the times I get to be close enough to watch faith happen is a blessing. So, we are in 2 Corinthians 4. If you want to turn there, we'll read it here in a second. But before we do, I'm going to pray. Lord, we confess before you, we don't understand like we ought to understand. And so, Father, we look to you. In Spirit, in Jesus, we look to you that we would understand the way we could understand. It is so far and above, God, what is natural. God, your truth is far and above what we would think. Lord, we look at what is seen and it doesn't lead us to thinking the thoughts we need to lead. We need to think about what is unseen. And so here we are, Father. Would you encourage us? Would you inspire in us faith so that we might speak faith to you, so that we might be transformed in how we think. Lord, I want to be transformed by thinking your thoughts over and over and over again. And God, would you lead us again to that this morning? I thank you for the chance to be here in your word with these people. Pray these prayers to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're not going to go through all this. I'm going to basically concentrate on a verse or two, but I want to read it all because it's all kind of wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Before I go on, this is the point here. You can put in basically, after a lot of verses in this chapter, you can just put on the end of the verse, so we don't lose heart. Because in verse 1, he says, do not lose heart. We'll find it again in verse 16. He says, again, so we don't lose heart. That's part of the point of what we're reading. Which is really good, because life is hard, and I need a little of that. Not lose heart. Here we go. Sorry, that was an aside. Verse 2, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Okay. The verse I want to concentrate on here. Oh, there's lots of good verses. It's verse 17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because that is the verse that sticks out to me. Because the first thing I think about when I read this is that Paul's crazy. Turn to chapter 11. Verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings. I don't know if you, I would count them. And often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. That's light. Did you catch that? Our light affliction. So, Paul's going to say some stuff about our suffering. He's going to say stuff about our affliction. And what we don't want to do is have Paul say this stuff and be like, "Oh yeah, Paul, but you don't really know." So before we even start, I want us just to go, oh yeah, Paul knows. Because Paul probably suffered more than anyone we will ever meet. So Paul knows. Now, I would like to turn to our affliction. Your affliction and my affliction. So let's brainstorm together affliction. The kind of affliction. You don't have to be super specific like, there was this injury from this piece of machinery on this day that broke this specific bone. But in kind, what are the kinds of suffering we experience? You can just call them out. Health. Okay. Let's stop at health just for a second. Look at verse 16. We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. So, whatever affliction Paul's talking about, it includes my bodily suffering. It includes me just wasting away. So it includes the loss of my eyesight and the loss of my hearing and the loss of being able to walk, and it includes a bad back, and it includes it all. Because he says, our outer man is wasting away. It includes stuff that might be suffering, that's less suffering. It includes going bald. That's right. So I'm just making a point here. When we're talking about afflictions, we can go, oh, there's just the afflictions of when when we're persecuted for Jesus. Well, that's not just... Our outer self is wasting away. It's included. Okay, other afflictions. Financial problems. Stressful, isn't it? Stressful financial problems. Okay, keep going. Weariness. Loss. Separation, like relational separation? Yeah, relational separation. That's painful. Relationship problems. Excuse me. Yeah. Bad friend? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to, like, being betrayed. Anybody been betrayed? Or felt betrayed? Yeah. Yeah. I think you've all felt betrayed. Have you experienced any hardships because you're Christian? Maybe your relationship's going bad because you're a Christian, or persecution because you're a Christian? That's a whole category of, oh. And another whole category might be the decisions you walk into because of you're a Christian. Oh, I'm making my decision to live for somebody else and not me, to put somebody else before me, and so there's a level of affliction I walk into almost voluntarily in the lifestyle I live, or in, you know, each decision. Yes, Peter. Yeah. False believers, or you could even say hurt you've experienced from believers, people you trusted. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about broken dreams. Pain from broken dreams. We can all experience that. Okay. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take that affliction, whatever it is, whatever pain it is, physical, emotional, spiritual. Just take it. I want you to fill a bag, just mentally. Fill a bag with it. Take this, we'll put it in the bag. Take this, we're going to put it in the bag. Put it in the bag. You got your bag? Think it through, put it in the bag. We're going to walk through this verse a little bit by specific words that are in the verse. The first verse, the first word we're speaking of is affliction. Paul's affliction, and now ours. Let's go to a different word in this verse. How about the word glory? It's an encouraging word. What do you think of when you think of the word glory? Heavy. Heavy. This guy likes Hebrew. So, Paul's writing in Greek, but the Hebrew word for glory is the same word for weight. And so Paul's playing with this in his mind. He's like, our light affliction versus the weight of glory. This is the way Paul is thinking about it, because Paul is a Hebrew scholar, even though he's writing in Greek. So weight. What else do you think of when you think of glory? Yes. Like shininess? Yeah. Shininess. Yeah. Yeah. Like that the world. Like Moses' shining face. Because he saw the glory of God. Splendor. That kind of thing. Okay, yeah, what else? Awesomeness. I like that word. Awesomeness. Okay, keep going. Beauty. Yeah, the Arizona ones are great because there's lots of dust in the air. Beautiful colors. God brings colors out of dirt. It's awesome. Anybody think of miracles? God's goodness, His presence, fullness, satisfaction. When we experience something that was just totally amazing, we say it's glorious. It was glorious. Glory. Okay. And read the verse. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Okay. So here's a scale. Got it? We're going to put on there. It's one of those scales, you put this one on this side, and this one side goes up. And then you put something on this side that's heavier, and then this side goes up. You know those scales? None of us have those at home, but we all know they exist. We're going to put our bag of affliction on the scale. So we put it on the scale. Is that what happened to yours? That's what happened to mine. Okay. Now God's going to put on there an eternal weight of glory on the other side. That is what the verse is saying. An eternal weight of glory. So, if you know There is eternal weight of glory being prepared if your suffering is achieving for you an eternal weight of glory you can get through your affliction. If you know there's an eternal weight of glory, you can make decisions to give up your whole life for Jesus. If you know, then you can be self-controlled. All things belong to you. You want me to read that to you? We read this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 22, verse 21. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ's. It's all yours. It's all yours. Everything Christ has, it's all yours. There is glory. There is goodness. There is fullness. There is light. There is satisfaction. There is miracles. It's there. It's all there. If you know this whole weight scale thing, it's just saying, guys, it's worth it. All my affliction is worth it. It's far worth it. When you get there and you see the glory, it'll take your breath away. When you experience it, it'll take your breath away. The verse says, the last three words says, beyond all comparison. I think it's interesting. God's love has comparisons. It says, God's love fills up the sky. Right? His righteousness is like the mountains. There are comparisons. But somehow here, it's beyond all comparison. I don't know. And it's kind of consistent. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. So, we know in our church now there are people preparing a wedding. Right? So there is preparations happening for this big event. And we all know, if you're married, that preparing a wedding is this long, hard thing. No mind has conceived what God has prepared. He's preparing an event. He's preparing the food for a dinner. He's preparing a house. He's preparing a life. He's preparing community and work. He's preparing. Speaking of the word preparing, 2 Corinthians, verse, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us. Now here, it's talking about achieving. Our affliction is producing. Our affliction is causing. Our affliction is bringing about this glory. So your affliction is affecting the amount of weight the glory is. It's affecting the amount of this. If we knew, it would change how we go through our affliction. If we had eyes of faith and we could see it, if we could see the glory that we would walk into, it would change it. do you know you will walk into that weight of glory? Do you know it? Do you know it when you walk through affliction? All right, so there's another word he uses here for affliction besides light, and it's momentary. And the first thing we have to realize is a lot of the hard things we walk through are it is momentary. Like, think about what was really getting under your skin 6 months ago. And for most of us, that's all gone and passed. It's all over. There's something else getting under our skin now. But our affliction is momentary in this life. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about that even if you were afflicted with something for your whole life, if you were never able to walk, this life is so short in comparison to eternity. It's like I got coffee this morning and I looked at the vapor on it and it was gone. As soon as I saw it, it was gone. Just in a moment. It is life here. It's a moment of affliction. And then the affliction goes away. If you knew the glory was coming, I'll tell you what would happen in your affliction. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read it again. We are afflicted. See, it wouldn't stop you from being afflicted. But you wouldn't be crushed. It wouldn't stop you from being perplexed, but you wouldn't be driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's what it would do. Let's go on to verse 10 here. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. There is some life that God wants to bring you. What I mean by there's some good that God wants to bring you that only comes through an association with Christ's death. Affliction, hardship, and association with Christ dying, and then there's life, that there's good that can flow into you, but that's the road it has to walk. And then, if we keep going, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So he's saying, through our association with Christ's death, life comes to me. Through association with Christ's death, life comes to you. So affliction not only brings the eternal weight of glory, it brings life to me and to other people. Changes me. Now, okay, we've got affliction bringing glory and life to me and others. Now, it's all of that doesn't have to take place. And this is kind of like the warning verse. So we should all turn there. Turn to Romans chapter 8. It's just back a couple books. We'll start in verse 14, I think. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Be glorified with him, provided we suffer with him. With him, I think, is that word. In your affliction, suffer with him. In your hardship, surrender to Him. Praise Him for what He's doing with the difficulty. Seek Him in your affliction. Connect with Him. Associate your affliction with Jesus' death. What I don't want to happen for me and for you is that we all suffer stuff, but it doesn't do any good. It doesn't bring the life. It doesn't lead to glory with Jesus because we're just doing it. We're doing it away from here. When we suffer, we're running away from hardship, and we're running away from God, and we're running away from what God's doing, and we're running away instead of stepping toward God in seeking Him and knowing what He's doing and surrender and suffering with Him. I don't want us to waste. Now let's move to 2 Corinthians 4 again, verse 18, which is, as we look, let's start in 17 again. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So, verse 18 says, as we look. So there it is. As we look. Hey, it's going to do all this good stuff. As we look. As you connect spiritually in your wasting away. As you connect spiritually in your broken relationships. As you connect in your affliction, as you look, not to what is seen, but what is unseen. What's he talking about? What's unseen? The glory to come is unseen. The grace God gives you to persevere is unseen. The life He's bringing to others and you in your affliction is unseen. You know, in fact, almost everything, I'd say it this way, the most important things in your life are unseen. Your faith is unseen. Your hope is unseen. The grace being brought you is unseen. Love flowing in and out of you is unseen. Life is unseen. The most important thing you have are unseen. Don't look at the seen. I'm going to look at the unseen. How do I look at the unseen and not the seen? And not the seen. And look. And look. And think about. And sing about. And memorize. And renew your thoughts about the unseen. So don't lose heart. I'm going to say this and close up here. Don't lose heart. I was just thinking about this chapter and thinking about these truths and all these names, your names, just came into my mind because I want to speak to each person here. Don't lose heart. I have some knowledge of some hard things that are happening. Don't lose heart. There's a bunch of things that are happening. I have no idea. Because God is working in your affliction more than you think. He is rewarding more than you think. He is filling in the gaps more than we think. He is revealing more than you think. He is empowering you more than you think. I love the promise here. The promise is just that the quantity of my suffering is affecting eternity. It's like difficult things pour into me here, and then they get poured into eternity. Good. I get good poured into eternity. Something is happening in your affliction you cannot see. That's the promise. The promise is, it's not meaningless. It's not pointless. It's not just stupid. And I want to take my eyes and not just think about, not just put my eyes on the affliction and the pain and the hardship. I want to put my eyes on the glory that will come because of the pain and the hardship. I want to put my eyes on how heavy the glory is going to be because it hurts. And that is good news for us, that it's not all pointless. And life is hard. Now this is what I want to do with our last 10 minutes. I'm going to call faith out of you guys. I want you guys to circle up in whatever size group you're comfortable of, pair up, 6 or less. And I want us to pray, and the reason I want us to pray is this. I want you to speak this kind of faith out of your mouth. I want us to speak it. Dear God, I believe my suffering is affecting eternity for my good. I believe my baldness is affecting eternity for my good. Big, small, is God just going to pour into us every amount of loss and bad that we've experienced here on this earth? Is that what's going to happen? I think so. And I want to speak it. I want you to speak it so we can drive it into our hearts, so we can drive it into the truth, and so we can live like it. So we can put our eyes on the glory to come. So, once you grab groups, and we don't normally do this, but grab groups or pray by yourself, that's fine. But speak it out loud. I'm going to stop us in about 5 minutes or so. Break. Well, Father, we believe like Paul. Their affliction is pointless. Lord, grant us that faith. And Lord, by your power, would you put our eyes on what is unseen? Lord, so that our affliction can be light. And Lord, we thank you that it is momentary. And we thank you that there is always a good coming for us. Lord, because you're here now, but God, you're also waiting at the end. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit and you being with us this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you together in Jesus' name.